Tonight to the book of Luke this evening. Now, on Wednesday night, we've been going through this series, we're calling it the Blessed series, but you can call it whatever you want. It's the idea of our theme for the year, and the thought process behind it is, let's find out what the Bible says that a person, that God can bless, and let's do those things. And obviously, we've talked about it before, three different angles to this word blessed that we find in the scriptures, probably a little bit more than that, but three that we're focusing on, how we are blessed. And there's a lot of things we're blessed with, and we're going to look at that. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3, talked about all the spiritual blessings. Also, you know, persons whose sins have been cleaned, all those different things, all the things. And we have a lot of physical possessions that we should be thankful for, but also the spiritual side of things. And we're going to look at that one of these Wednesday nights. And then also we talked about the happiness that's involved in that, the idea of a blessed is the man, like it talks about in Psalms chapter 1. And we looked at that. You know, there are certain things that the happy person's not going to do. You know, he's not going to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He's not going to stand in the way of sinners. He's not going to sit in the seat of the scornful. He's just not going to do it. And so what truly the Bible says makes a person happy. It's different than what the world says. Most people would say in the world, hey, when you get to hang around people and you get to be scorners, you get to do this, that's when you're going to really truly find happiness. We've been learning on Wednesday nights, it's completely different. The biblical joy and the happiness that is found, we learned it through serving. We looked at that in John chapter 13. Jesus gave that example of washing the disciples' feet, and that's an amazing example. And he says, happy are ye if you do that. And like most people are like, hey, when I get served, that's when I'm going to be happy. He says, if you truly want to find true happiness, it's going to be found there. Last week, we looked at the idea of the happiness is finding, hearing the word of God and doing it. And we talk about how that's a blessed person, the blessed person. And then we also looked at it as more blessed to give than receive. The world would tell you, no. It's more blessed to get. And that's not what the Bible says. And then we also looked at it from the idea of living a life that God can bless. It's not just that's where we're going to find happiness and joy, and that's where we're going to find our contentment, and that's where we're going to truly find the calling that God has on our life. It's also a spot that God can bless. God says, this is something I can use. This is something I look at. When you serve, like the washing the feet and being willing to be humble, that's something I can bless. When you're willing to understand that giving is so much better than the receiving, that's something I can bless. When you get to this idea that when you know it, knowing it's not just enough, it's actually obeying it, that's something I can bless. And tonight we got another thought behind this in Luke chapter number 12. This passage, the title of this evening's message is Waiting, Watching, and Working. Waiting, watching, and working. And it gives the idea of what a servant should be doing as they're waiting for their master to return home. And Jesus teaches this in the parable. And I know when you look at it in the context, it is more than likely referring to the second coming, and actually when Jesus returns after the tribulation period, after the marriage supper of the Lamb, all those different things. But also throughout the New Testament, there is parables that would talk to us about us being ready and us being watching and us being waiting. And so when we look at that tonight, I want you to think about this. What is it the Lord's trying to teach us and show us? And we see here more than one time he used the word blessed. Verse number 7, blessed are those servants who do this. And then he also talks about in verse number 43, blessed is that servant whom does this. So all those different things where we're going to find the blessings of God and what he asks us to do is not just the things that we're not supposed to do, and the idea of not the scorning and also delighting in the law of the Lord. That's something you're not supposed to do and something you are supposed to do. It's not just about the service. It's not just about the trusting that we looked in when it came to the book of Jeremiah, and also looked at other verses that talked about blessed is the person that trusteth in the Lord. It's not just about the giving, and it's not just about the serving. It's not just about the understanding the word of God and obeying it. He says there's something else that he can bless. That's the person who's waiting for him. That's the person who's watching for him. That's the person that's working for him. We're stewards of so many wonderful things that he's given us an opportunity to be stewards of. Different people have different opinions of what their concept of life should be and what the concept of life for every child of God should be. Some people's concept of life is there are certain things that are extremely important. And there is. All of us would say there are certain things that are extremely important to us. but it's what our attitude and our actions are that expresses those things that are extremely important to us. Some people would tell you life is a party. What are they excited about? Where is their heart? It's about having a good time. Some people would tell you life is a race. Some people would tell you life is a war. Jesus is telling us here that life in this concept is a servant waiting for his Lord to return. And he's watching and he's waiting and he's working with the anticipation he's coming back someday. And I'm going to watch and I'm going to wait and I'm going to serve. And that's the idea that he gives here of a servant who is waiting and watching for his Lord that could appear at any time unannounced. That's the idea. I think that's a life that God can bless. If we live our lives not about, hey, what can I get? What can I do? Life is this, or life is, I've heard people say, life is my family. You got to be careful when you say that. Family is really important, but also at the same time, are you waiting and watching for him? It's a servant. Now, as you're a servant and you're watching for your Lord, of course you can take your family, take care of your family. Of course, your family can have an important spot in your life. And of course, your ministry can have an important spot in your life. And of course, other things can take priority in your life, but it should always be under this context. I know Jesus is coming back and I'm waiting for that. And I'm watching for that. And I'm going to keep on working because he's given me so much. I am a steward of the talents I have. I'm a steward of the possessions I have. I'm a steward of my time. I'm a steward of my treasure, the time, the talent, and the treasures. We're stewards of all those things. So we're going to start off, and it's not specifically where we're not going to read all of it. Once again, it's a long chapter. It's a good chapter. But we are going to start off up here in verse 31. We're going to go quickly through the verses, but I want to kind of set the scene of what he's saying and see where it applies back. And it says, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God. And there's other things that they were seeking, similar to what it says in Matthew chapter 6. I do not believe it is the same sermon as the Sermon on the Mount. I think it's a different time period, but many of the same principles are taught. He says, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Then he says, have a kingdom type focus. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourself bags which wax not old. A treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupteth. And it says in verse 34, and I love this verse. This is a great verse. It's a short verse. It's a verse to memorize and put to your mind. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, what you value, what you put as treasure, that's where your heart's going to be. And that's what I think he's getting ready. And as he teaches this parable and shows us these things, if your heart is about Jesus is returning, this is the way you're going to live. And then and as we think about it, what do we watch for? What is it that we wait on? What is it that we actually work towards? And he's saying, hey, wherever your heart is, that's what you're really going to be waiting on. That's really going to be what you're watching for. That's going to be what you're working towards. That's where your heart is at. And it keeps on. And he begins talking about this parable here. It says, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come and serve them. And he shall come in the second watch or in the third watch or come in the third watch and find them so. Blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us or even to all? He's like, is this something that is for everyone? Is this something that's applicable for me? Because he wants to apply it. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth, I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maid servants, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him in this portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew the Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required, and to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Now, we're not going to probably take the time to look at 45, 46, 47, 48. But I did not want to just gloss over. I did want to help. There is a group of people out there, and it seems to me that they're talking about some that are unsaved and some that are saved. And in this, there's the people that's in verse 45 says, hey, my Lord delay if it's coming, and begin acting like Jesus is not coming anytime soon. And this is dangerous. And when it talks about that, they're cut off. And once again, it takes a little while to get into this and explain all the different things. But it's the portion with the unbelievers. And from that standpoint, if even a believer starts acting like, you can't lose your salvation. But some believers out there are like, I don't think he's coming sometime soon. Now, if you want to believe that, no man knoweth the hour or the day. But boy, you better be living like he's coming back. I mean, sometimes people are like, well, I don't think he's coming back sometime soon. I think it could be they've been thinking like that for 1,000 years or 2,000 years. Even Paul thought he was coming. And I get that. I understand that. And I understand the things that are there. But he tells us to watch. He tells us to be waiting. He tells us to be working. So don't use that as some type of excuse that I don't have to work and I don't have to be serving him. He's saying, I want you to live with the expectation I can return at any moment at any time. And so I think it's important to remember that. And there are some things that are there. And so I guess want you to get that there are people who will choose not to. They believe that the Lord is delaying his coming. Then they begin to act what way? They begin to beat the men servants. They begin to beat the maidens. They begin to eat. They begin to drink. They begin to be drunken. What are they doing? They're living for themselves instead of living with the anticipation that the Lord was going to come back. And I think that sometimes us, even as believers, I he's been talking about coming back for a long time. I'll just get right when he comes back. And that is not the type of life he can bless. And the minimizing it, what the passage is referring there, that's not the type of life he can bless. He's looking for the person that's waiting. He's looking for the person that's watching. He's looking for the person that's working. That's the type of life he can bless. So let's look at these things. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll jump into this. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for your word. Lord, help us tonight. Help us to understand some of these truths. Help us to live with the anticipation that you could return. Lord, that we know that you're going to return. You've told us that you're going to return. Obviously, the end times are closer than they ever were, but we see the signs of the end times, and it seems like it could happen at any moment. And Lord, help us live with that anticipation. Lord, help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so Let's look at here. The first thing is the waiting of the servant or the steward. I couldn't decide whether or not I wanted to call him a servant or a steward. So you can choose one if you're writing out the outline. It's the waiting of a servant. It's referred to as servant here, but also it gives the idea of a steward, of someone who's been taking care of things. So the waiting of a servant, the waiting of a servant. Look what it says in verse number 35. It says, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, that may open the door immediately. So when we're thinking about the waiting of the servant, here's some things that are the principles that are here. It gives the idea of waiting in verse number 36. It says, the men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding. So the wedding, what does that have to do? It gives the idea that in Jewish weddings, many times it would take more than one day. You never know when the servant's going to return. Even sometimes when you think about Oriental weddings, the same thing. There was multiple days. And that servant would have never known when his master was going to return. Some even think it's about talking about when they're returning with their bride. But the basic and the application implication of it is, hey, am I sitting here anticipating that the guy could come right now? And I want to be up and I want to be ready and I want to be waiting for him. I know sometimes we use it in a modern day illustration is, do you ever have to wait on somebody when they're trying to get ready? I mean, you're there and you know it's time to go and you're getting ready and you're coming to pick them up. And they were supposed to be ready at a certain time. And you're just sitting out there waiting. Now, the other person had been waiting for you to pick them up. The other person has said, okay, I'm waiting for you to show up. And so because of the fact that they're waiting, as soon as you pull up, maybe you honk the horn and or you knock on the door and they're like, oh, hold on. And then they had to finish getting ready. Sometimes you think about old times, it talks about, you know, a young man going to the house for a date and then they had to sit there and wait forever for the lady to get ready. And then they're sitting there waiting and waiting, even though the time was, they knew what time it was supposed to be. It's the idea of waiting for something. And that's what he's saying here. Here's some of the preparation they said about doing the waiting. Look what it says in verse 35. Let your loins be girded about. The stewards are required to prepare for the return of the master. Jesus uses two everyday practices to illustrate this readiness of the steward. The first one is talking about the loins. Now, when it's talking about girded, it means to fasten garments with a girdle or belt. People in this day would have long flowing garments under a belt to allow them to run. This verb occurs in the present tense, meaning that once the garments are fastened up in readiness, they are there to remain while they're doing the work. So they would take their long robes and they would gird them up so that way they could not let the long robes stop them from being able to do things that were necessary. And so that's the idea of girding the loins. It gives us a picture of not letting other things slow us down, not letting other things from the preparation of it. Then you see the illustration of the lamp, let your lights burning. Jesus uses the illustration of a burning lamp, which allows the people to move in darkness. The idea here that we should be ready day or night for Christ's return. And more commonly, it's something that we refer to when it's the rapture here. Now, once again, there is two separate times. He's returning in the clouds. There's the rapture. He's coming back for his church. And then it's the second coming. He's coming with his church. And so either way, we're told to be ready as we're waiting for the rapture to happen. He says, hey, look, make sure that you have your, there's nothing stopping you from serving. There's nothing stopping you from working. It's sort of like if the master's coming home and he's there and they're supposed to be there to open the door up immediately. If the master comes home and he knocks on the door and you're sitting there laying in the bed. And he's like, oh, I got to get up. Hold on one second. You got to get up. You got to turn the light on, you know, put your bathrobe on, make sure everything's ready. And then you come up and then you open up the door and say, oh, it was really good to see you. Come on in. He's saying, no. You should have your life there and you're sitting there and you're waiting with anticipation that he could return. It's a persistent watch. And he even talks about different times, whether it's second watch, third watch, all these different things. It's a persistent watch. It's not something that we do just a portion of the time. It's we are persistently, continually waiting for him, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So it's not only with preparation is the waiting, but we also see there is a purpose. Here the man would be ready to receive his master, give an account for what he's doing, and be ready to be able to be a part of that. And Jesus has given us all something to do, and he calls us to account for our stewardship. He does that a number of times. In Luke 16:2, it says, and he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest no longer steward. So it's the idea, hey, why weren't you there? Why weren't you ready? Why didn't you open up the door? Weren't you watching for me? Weren't you prepared for me? And sometimes we're sitting there waiting and waiting. But what are you waiting for in life? What is it that you are looking forward to in your life? I know sometimes my oldest son, you can pray, Christian wasn't feeling the greatest tonight, so you'd be praying for him a little bit, but he's waiting for the day that he can get engaged and waiting for the day he can get married. And those are all great things to wait for, obviously, and there's excitement there, but he's looking forward to that. I think as much as he's looking forward to it, the young lady's looking forward to it too, and they're waiting for that. There's anticipation, and each day, hey, could it be today? And could it be, you know, when is that going to happen? And all those other things. There's a waiting. And that's what he's talking about here. What are you waiting for in life? Remember, where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. Have you thought about it today that Jesus could return? I mean, we live our lives, we get busy, we come to church, we sing songs, and we hear a song sung about maybe he could return today. And we're thinking, you know what? That could be today. Amen. But have we really thought about that today? I mean, are we really truly waiting? Is that the thing that we're waiting for? I mean, once again, there's things in this life that we wait for. There's things that we're waiting to get done. You know, we're waiting for, sometimes a young person's waiting for their graduation or getting their driver's license or getting married. Sometimes older people are waiting for retirement or waiting for this or waiting for that. And there's anticipation in our hearts there. That's what we think about. That's what we want. That's what we long for. And there's nothing wrong with looking forward to different stages of our life. But he's saying, you should be waiting for me above all this. Other things. Those other things should not be slowing you down. You should take those other things in your life and make sure they're girded up and saying, you know, that's only a portion. I can't let this stop me from waiting for the most important. And that's Jesus. That's going to return someday. And I got to be waiting for that. And he says, if you look at it, he says in verse number 35, they may open unto him immediately. That's the idea that they're there and they're waiting. Sometimes you hear the story that the girl's upstairs waiting for the guy to come and going to make him wait for a few minutes. Sometimes the girl's so excited about the date that as soon as they knock on the door, she opens up the door and says, hey, let's go. And, you know, obviously there's parents and all those other things. I don't talk about doing anything inappropriately, but I'm saying that there is something that's there and the idea that they've been waiting for something. And, hey, let's get going. And so not only is there waiting, I want you to think about the watching. And you say, well, isn't waiting and watching similar? It's similar, but the watching of the steward is also mentioned here in verse 37. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall be watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down and to meet and will come forth and serve them. Listen to what it's saying. So if the servant is, he's blessed, someone who is going to be happy, someone that God is going to be able to supremely bless and use, the person who's watching for him and waiting for him that day, he says that the master is going to come. And look what it says. It says, verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself, talking about the master is going to gird himself and make them to sit down to meet and will come forth and serve them. And one commentator I read said, that's the greatest promise in the Bible. It's the idea that the master is actually going to tell the servants, I'm so thankful for what you've done and that you're ready. That here, you go sit down. And I want to serve you. And what an amazing thought there. That's a reward. That's the blessing that God is saying from the master that's there. When we think about when you think about watching, I thought about, sometimes there's a son that's out at their house and they're looking out the window waiting for dad to come home. And maybe dad said, hey, when we come home tonight, we can play ball. We can play catch. And the dad and the boy, maybe he doesn't get to spend as much time with his dad as he liked. And he loves his dad. He looks up to his dad all day long. What is he doing? He's waiting for that dad to come home. He's there. And he's sitting out the window. He's watching for the dad's car to pull up. He's got his glove on. He's got the ball. He's got his dad glove. Maybe he's got a bat that's there. He's anticipating the moment his dad comes home. He's not going to make his dad wait. He's not going to make his dad come and look. Hey, son, I'm home. You want to play now? No, that's there with the anticipation that, hey, I am going to do what my dad has said was already. And that's the type of watching it's talking about here. I believe it's a watching in the idea that this is something I'm anticipating, is something I'm looking forward to, and it's something that is a persistent, as I mentioned before, all throughout this is persistent. He says, and it shall come in this, and if he shall come in the second watch, it doesn't matter, he's going to be ready, or come in the third watch, it doesn't matter, he's going to be ready. Find them so, blessed are those servants, those that are sitting there and waiting. And I love the tie-in for verse 39. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. You know, that doesn't make that much sense. Well, think about it. If someone told you that they were going to break into your house, or maybe you heard through a confidant or a source, they were going to break into your house tonight at midnight, and it was a legitimate source, what would you do? You'd be ready to greet them, wouldn't you? Maybe you would call the police. Maybe you'd have a baseball bat. Maybe you'd have multiple guns. Maybe you'd have a rocket launcher. I don't know what you would have. But some people would be there. But you would not go. You would not be sleeping at midnight. You'd be sitting here. You'd be watching. you'll be anticipating. Someone's going to do that. And it's the illustration, that's the way we're supposed to watch. Probably at 11 o'clock, you would start looking around, maybe looking out the window. Maybe even a little earlier than 11, I don't know. And every time you hear a noise, you'd be looking. Every time, I believe he's taking this and he's using this as illustration, just like you'd be watching for that person that might break into your house and steal something from you, that you should be watching for the Lord that he could come at any moment. How many of us do that? Because if we did that, we wouldn't live certain ways. We wouldn't say certain things. We wouldn't act certain ways. We wouldn't go certain places. But that's what he's saying. It's in a parable. He's saying, look, I want you to be anticipating my coming. I want you to live your life waiting. I want you to live your life watching. And then he says in verse number 40, be therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour which ye think not. And we do not know the day or the hour. He uses the idea as a thief in the night. He's not robbing anything. He's coming back for his church. And then he's coming back to rule the world and all those things. But are you sitting and watching? Like I said, I would probably not only be there, I'd probably have a friend there. I probably have my neighborhood police officer sitting there with me watching, because he'd be better at watching, or some of my friends that I know that could help me and say, okay, I got this information. Let's keep our eyes peeled. Let's keep them open. Let's do everything we could to make sure that we can see and be ready for when this intruder was coming. Last but not least, it's talking about the working. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us or even to all? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward? So we see the word steward. Over here we see servant earlier. Now we see the word steward. So it's the watching of the steward and the working of the steward. Whom's Lord shall make him ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. What is that? He's being faithful. You know, to whom much is given, much is going to be required. So he's being faithful with the work that God's given us. He's been faithful with it. And we use those three things, the three T's. Are we being faithful with the time God's given us? Are we being a good steward of that? I think there is a time of rest. I think there is a time of relaxation. I do think that. I don't disagree with that. But I think sometimes people use that as an excuse. There are not a lot of people getting burned out from serving the Lord. They might get burned out from other things because that's what they're waiting for and that's what they're watching for and that's what they're working towards. But they're also the time, your talent. You know, how are we doing with our talents? Some people have talents in the idea that they're super smart, or they're good with their speech, or they're good at singing, or they're good at writing, or they're good at... And then we look at the different talents or the gifts that God's given us in the New Testament. How are we doing with those talents? Are we using those talents? Are we hiding those? And sometimes we hide them, and we hide them for the wrong reasons. We like to justify that, but we're not using our talent because I'm mad at so-and-so, or the church is disappointed at me, or I'm not going to tell anybody else about the Lord because no one's going to listen to me. You know, they hide their talents. And then there also is the word treasure. Who's it belong to anyway? Our time, we've been given a short period of time in this world. We need to work while it's day, because the day cometh or night cometh where you're not going to be able to work. And then you think about our talents, all the different things that God has done for us. Are we being a good steward? And then we look at our treasure. And we saw earlier, he says, look, just go ahead and sell all the stuff you had. It's not that big of a deal. And I know that it's a different dispensation. I understand all that. And nowhere in there does he tell us to give away everything. There was that communal that was living in the book of Acts. That was a different time period, and that it worked for them for a short period of time. But later on in the church of Jerusalem, what are they doing? They're getting gifts from the Gentile churches. So it is not. There is nowhere in there does it say that you have to sell everything you have to give to the poor. But at the same time, if that's what the Lord tells you to do, then you should do it, because the Lord's going to take care of you. But are we doing our work that God's called us to do? And as he's saying, the person who's going to be blessed is the person who is doing fine shall find so doing. I know that there was times as a child or as a teenager, mom and dad would tell me, hey, I want you to clean the house. We'll be back in 3 or 4 hours. And what does a young person do? Okay? 3 or 4 hours. That means I have 3 hours and 45 minutes to do what I want. And those last 15 minutes, I can go ahead and never anticipating exactly what that they're going to be home when they said. And even if they showed up earlier or showed up later on, for some reason this thing wants to talk to me. We'll turn it off. Technology, isn't it wonderful? Maybe not. Okay. So from that, we think about it. I used to remember that, hey, my parents are coming home. And when I looked at the clock and I was like, man, I got up and in a frenzy tried to clean up. And it wasn't done right. If I even did it, my parents would come home and says, hey, see what time it is? I asked you to clean the house and there would be repercussions in my house if I didn't do what I was supposed to do. There would be, you know, they show up, and whether they show up early or show up late doesn't really matter. I was supposed to do the things. I should have been found working. And that's what he's saying. I've given you all these different jobs and all these different responsibilities, and I've given you all this time and I've given you all this talent. And when I return, I want to see you working. And we got to remember that if you've ever been a manager or a supervisor, that sometimes when you go check on people, sometimes not people are not working. Those are not the people that you're going to want to use. They're not the people you're going to want to bless. They're not the people that you're going to want to give more responsibilities to. And that's where it's saying here. It says that of a truth in verse 44, I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. You know, over in at the end of verse number 2, he says, whom his Lord shall make him ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat and due season, all those different things. They'll be rewarded. Those are the people that are blessed, that when you come back and you find them working, that's when you can be blessed of the Lord. So if he came back and he found you today and what you were doing, were you working? And I'm not talking about your job and that is character. I'm talking about anticipating that the Lord could come back and I'm serving him. I've done what I know I can. I've done what I know I should. And I want to be a person that's blessed. So where's your heart tonight? As we saw earlier in verse 34, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where is your heart at tonight? What am I waiting for? What am I watching for? What am I working for? What is the thing that is intense in my heart and my life? What is it that I'm living for? And we would say, of course, it's the Lord. But if you went and considered your ways, as we've been talking about in Sunday school class, what have you spent your most time on? Where has your thought process been at? And I know you say, well, I have to work 40 hours a week, and I have schooling, and I have this activity, and I have that activity, and I got church, and pastor at the church overwhelms us with activities and all those other things. No. But where's your heart at to this? Are you walking with him? Have you really thought today? Is it in your prayer list? Lord, help me live with the anticipation that you could come back today. Help me not have things that are crowding me about that would not make me ready to immediately open that door and welcome you. Help me to make sure my loins are girded about. Help me to make sure that my light is burning and shining for you and that there's a light going in the darkness. Help me to be watching for you, anticipating, hey, it could be today. And what if he came back today? Would he be pleased with what he found me? And am I working? There are people in verses 45 through 48 that, they've been saying that for years. Don't worry about that. Yeah, I don't think he's coming back. And once again, you can have your opinions. Go ahead and have your opinions. But at the same time, you better make sure that you're watching and waiting and working, because that's what he encourages us to do. People express different concepts of life. Some people say life is a party, or life is my family, or life is this, or life is that. But when you look at this scripture, I believe he's saying life is like a servant waiting for his master to come home. That's what a Christian's life should look like. God has left me here. He's made me a steward over this. I'm waiting for him to return home so I can say, hey, this is what I did, and this is what I did, and this is what I did. And sometimes that's what your boss will do. They'll come to you and say, okay, tell me what you did today. Sometimes with Brother Christian, I say to him, okay, show me what you did today, or tell me what you did that. Sometimes I do that with my wife as my secretary. Okay, show me the things you did today. And we do that oftentimes if we're responsible or a supervisor or someone who's in charge of somebody. Show me what it is that you did and made accountable. You know, I gave you these things to do. What did you do with what I gave you? I gave you this family to raise. What did you do with that family? I gave you those neighbors to tell the people about the gospel. What did you do with them? I gave you Elizabeth City that is in darkness and needs the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What did you do with that? I gave you a church to serve at. I gave you a husband, or I gave you a wife. I gave you children. What is it that you've done with that? Those are the idea of the steward. Anticipate. Hey, I knew you were coming back, and this is what I did today, and this is the things I accomplished, and this is what I struggled with, and this is what I needed help with. And, you know, we can give, if you've been working, you can tell your boss, hey, I did this today and this today, and it took me this long, and I did this and I did that. But many times if Christ came back and said, what'd you do with your time today? I think some of us would be embarrassed. What did you do with your talent today? Oh, it's not Sunday, Lord. Am I really have to do anything? What'd you do with your treasure today? So live with the anticipation that he's coming back someday, and he's going to want us to be accountable for what he's given us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that in this series that we would really try to embrace this thought. If God says, blessed is this man that does this, or this servant that does this, or this steward that does this, that is going to truly bring happiness. And that is going to bring a life that God can bless. That we will grab a hold of it and we will say, that's what I want to do. Lord, we've learned already what we're not supposed to do about the counsel of the ungodly and all those things. We learned that we're supposed to delight in the law of the Lord. We've learned that we're supposed to give more than we receive. We've learned how we're supposed to serve. We've learned about how we were supposed to trust in you. We learned about obeying you and not just knowing the word, but being obedient. Tonight, help us to see that a Christian's life is as a servant that's just looking for his master to return, so we can give an account. And it's not just waiting, saying that it probably won't be tomorrow, it might be the next day, but always anticipating, persistently being ready and available, not allowing things to slow us down, that we gird those things up, that we would shine as a light, watching as the boy that's watching for his dad to come home and ready to do whatever it is that the Lord wants us to do. And throughout all this, help us to be working. Help us not just to be waiting and watching and excited about him coming just to find us being slothful. Help us to be working also. And Lord, speak to our hearts about the things you made us stewards of, or whether it's possessions or time or talent or even our treasure, our families, our church, our work relationships. If you asked us today what we did with those for you, what would our answer be? And God, it's good, it's okay that we think of it that way. It's best that we consider our ways. But help us not just to consider them, to walk away from them. Help us to really consider them, reflect on them, and allow you to make the change in our life that we need. Lord, help us to be waiting, watching, and working for your return. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go.